have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Check the way I walk. Yes, that's free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. Okay. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah. Yeah, I'm from the streets, south of the arch, man. Where I used to drink, roll up, and used to spark, man. Now I got my head straight, shining like a million bucks. Christ elevated me, going past the ceiling, bruh. St. Louis City, God Squad t-shirt. Homie, how you doing? Pleased to meet you, this my rebirth. Addicted to the word, it's pumping through my artery. Faith on the meal, the swag is a part of me. Now my glow bright, soul's been redeemed. Covered in the blood, no shower, cause I'm clean. Done playing games, rid of the Xbox, almost flatline. But Christ made my chest pop, walked on the edge. The devil made me wobble, Jesus took the wheel. Fast forward full throttle, still in the hood. Got that street slang, mixed with the spirit. It's a G thing. Keep high talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag, okay. Yeah. My Christ swag, yeah.
God Squad,
this my
bruh.
Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
Cartier.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Look. My whole style come from Christ,
yeah.
So own it? No sir, you can't put a price. Like bite on rice, I got his blood on me. To be honest, I just care about my guy, homie. And if I'm only living for him, it don't really even matter what y'all think of me. Opinions, you can let them be. I'm killing it, I let them see. The old me is gone. Keep the demons out my heart, then Christ found a home. No more Patron or Nitrous, I might just give God a praise with my best. He's highest, glory in here, hallelujah. Yes sir, put my trust in the Lord. I ain't having no fear, no I don't have a care. Besides pleasing my father, tell any hater you see, man, don't even bother. Cause Jesus is my medicine, I ain't never hurting. Catching waves of his glory, man, I'm Christ swag surfing.
Yeah. I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay. Nah.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag.
God Squad.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Okay, you get it from my father.
Uh-huh.
Head to toe swinging on that word, that's the motto.
Yeah.
Used to be a up or down flipper like the Lido.
Uh-huh.
Roll with Big Frank and ST, old squad though. Now I'm aiming at the world with that blessed scope.
Yeah.
Hard repetition, stay flexing, holy rollers know. When you see that light shine, this ain't baby doe. He ain't got a VVS on him, what a freak show. No, but I'm close with my father though.
Nah.
I ain't Leroy, but the boy got a lot of glow. Took a whole lot of land out to kill his ego. Missing my whole purpose like Shaq with them free throws. If you rapping vain, can't edify the people. Swag on 100, gaining speed, adios flow. And I'm top flow, reaching for his glory. You think I got some swag, Christ the one that poured it on me.
Check the way I
walk.
Been set free, cause my father paid the
cost.
No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.
Yeah, my Christ swag. Dun, 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 dun. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. this is Minister Cedric. You know, we're back. Thank you, Sister Kimmy. We're back on Elation Radio today. And I don't know, I had some thoughts today. I don't know, where it's going to go. I wanted to have a conversation today because I've been seeing a lot of us. A lot of us have struggles today, lots and lots of struggles. And you know what? I had to fall back on what I know about what I call relentless pursuit. I'm just going to be honest with everybody. I had to fall back today. I guess most people would consider it bad news, but I got some news earlier in the week, and it's so weird. It's just like, it was just some news that I got out of the blue, right? Like, bow. I was trying to be responsible. I was taking care of some things, and out of the blue, got this call. And this call is that company that I work for, they're basically going to shut down their operations at the end of the month, right? And this is why out of the blue, when I say out of the blue, I mean out of the blue, like I didn't see it coming. But I was trying to be responsible. And, you know, I said, you know what, I'm going to take this opportunity. This summer is coming. I got big plans coming up. I'm going to take this opportunity to pay off all my bills. I'm going to take all this, what little money I had, what I could muster, pay off all my debt. So I paid off all my debts. And think about this, people. I paid off all my debts, and then all of a sudden, bow, I get blindsided. You ain't going to have much income left, right, because I can't work like I used to work, right, since my accident. So, but I tell you what, I had to fall back. And what I mean by fall back, I had these feelings trying to rise up inside of me. You know, fear, anxiety, restlessness, you know, anger, all that stuff was trying to rise up inside of me. And I said, oh, wait a minute, Claire, Cedric, minister, right? I had to remind myself of who it was I depended upon, right? Right. So check this out. So I had to take a step back. And then as I took that back, when you meditate on God's word, because you know, first you got to read it, right? Because you got to know what you're meditating on, right? That's what I believe. You read the word, right? I prayed about it, started meditating. So what happened to me was this. I said, I had to ask myself this question. I said, relentless pursuit, find what you love, embrace it, and chase it, and that is your relentless pursuit. So check this out. At the end of the day, I came to this conclusion. I said, I ain't scared. I'm not pursuing a job. I'm not pursuing money. I ain't scared. So I started to go play it out in my head, like within about 20, 30 minutes, it played out in my head. And the thing that played out was, God, why do you allow bad things to happen? And then I started thinking about Joseph. Oh, I went to the Bible. I started thinking about Joseph. And then there were a few other scriptures that ran through my head. And I started thinking. And the more I thought about this, all right, Brother Jason, I know you won. The more I thought about it, the more excited I became. I was just excited because this is an opportunity for me to live up to the hype. I always talk to people about never giving up and never quitting. This is the perfect opportunity to show people how God truly moves in our lives, right? How we, look. God gave us dominion of the things of this world, right? And those negative thoughts that were trying to rise up in me and just so I could spew them out into the atmosphere to hurt other people's feelings, to do whatever it was they were trying to do, I said, ain't gonna happen. So throughout this whole experience, I want y'all to know that it has forced me to become even closer to Christ. It has forced me to fall to my knees. You see, just like if the devil had a known, he would have done everything in his ugly powers to keep Jesus from being crucified, because he didn't want what Jesus was going to unleash on this world. He didn't want that. He knows it now. So when that came to me, It never should have come. So what did it do? It awakened the power. And I think that whenever we face adversity, it should awaken a power within us. And it's not our own power. It's not our own strength. It should awaken that spirit of God that we as his children should all carry. See, some of us, we don't get what it is he has for us because we don't utilize the tools that he has given us, right, right, in order for us to get what it is he has for us. So that's what I've been kind of going through, and it's been wonderful though. It's been wonderful. I started out. I was reading a scripture, and I believe that I'm trying to think of what it was I was reading. I believe I was coming out of 2 Timothy, and I started thinking about the race. I started thinking about endurance. Started thinking about, you know what, in 2 Timothy, I was like, you know what, that's perfect when it comes to endurance, because we ought to all do just what Paul said, right? We ought to all be able to do it. And that's simple. You know, he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the course, but I kept the faith. You know what I'm saying? You know, God made some promises to us people. And we've got to be good soldiers. We've got to be disciplined soldiers. We've got to be hard workers, right? We have to be hard workers. And working hard is not about hard work. It's about staying the course, keeping the faith. So with that being said, I want to bring my brother Jason in. Give us a little report on yourself, Jason.
Hey, my man. How we doing today?
I'm excited. What about yourself? I'm excited right now. I'm excited for what God is doing in the earth right now.
I share that excitement with you, and I think, you know, just the discussion today of you know, persevering, finishing strong, pushing through, it's actually a theme that's been resonating, and God's been just kind of showing it to me throughout this week.
Yeah.
We have our high school, middle school ministries coming up, and that's kind of our focus is that perseverance, you know, especially with the students. Here we are to getting toward the end of the year, encourage them to finish the year off strong, but then, you know, trying to put that in a frame of not just for the school purpose, but in everything that we do.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. That's the thing. Like my whole thought process is, here it is. You talk about the middle school. You talk about school-age children right now. They're getting ready to go into the summer. Some of them are going to go off to college, join the military, be out of high school. They're going to start their lives, right? Some of them are going into 12th grade. Some are going to 11th, and so on and so on. But they look at summer as if the end of something has arrived. And I keep saying, just like I do about hard times, I keep saying, look, no. This is the beginning of something bigger. You know, when you're going from 11th grade to 12th grade, that's big stuff. Am I right? Right? And for those of us, these kids that are in traditional school and they go sixth grade is elementary. So sixth grade, you go to seventh grade. Now you're going to junior high. Or let's say you're already in the junior high school and you're in eighth grade. Now you're going to ninth grade. Something bigger is coming about and it's going to test us all. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
See, I've been talking to a number of brothers. You know, I've been talking to them and they tell me they're going through some struggles. And I think the reason we don't like struggles, the reason we don't enjoy them is because, here it is, we've gotten lazy. Nobody want to work for nothing. We want everything to be handed to us. But I think that God allows these struggles so that we can call on him. A friend of mine said a long time ago, he said, you heard a preacher said, he said, pigs wallow. Oh, but the lamb cries out for help. He's struggling to get out of the muck and the mire, right? He's struggling to get out. But the pig likes it, so he wallows in it. And I'm saying, for us to get through tough times as men, we have to learn to use our energies for good. not for the negative stuff. You don't need to, you know, we shouldn't just get angry. We shouldn't get upset. We should, yes, life is going to deal us some things. And some of these things are going to seem like they're fatal, but they're not going to be. They're not going to be. They're not meant to be fatal.
When you talk about energy, and I think some people struggle with the adversity, and you know, I'm a big fan of perspective, right? They see it as a barrier. They see it as an obstacle. They don't see it, as you phrase it, an opportunity, right? And you feel like, what opportunity do I have when I just got laid off from my job. I'm about to get evicted from my house. I'm having struggles with my marriage. My kids are being disrespectful. What opportunity is there? But you hit the nail on the head. It's an opportunity to connect with our Father in the midst of all that and experience the joy that He gives us and the peace that He gives us in that. And what people don't understand, in that submission to the circumstances, say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to allow this circumstance to impact me or affect me. I'm going to submit to a greater power. What people don't realize is that in that submission is where you gain your real power. In that submission when you start gaining that control. But the control is not your control. It's control that you've given to God. And because you've given it to God, who, if I'm correct, he's 100% in everything that He does. He does nothing wrong. You can have the faith of like, okay, this is going to turn out the way it's supposed to be, right? Now, on the back end, being realistic, it may not turn out how you want it to be, but it's going to turn out to be the best as can be. So I think when we approach these obstacles, you know, it's interesting. Like I'll have men come to me, and they'll come to me all sad and telling me about their circumstance, and the first thing out of my mouth, I'm like, man, that's awesome, and they look at me and like, have you been listening to me? And I tell them, I'm like, yeah, I have. And I share with them the perspective that I have. You know, go back to James where he says, like, you know, if our faith is not tested, can it really be called faith? You know, consider it joy when our faith is tested, because in the end, you know what's going to come out from it. And they look at me crazy, but by the end of the conversation, they're like, man, I never saw it that way. And I think that's the thing. And you know, so when we talk about the energy to then persevere, you know, a lot of us, you know, we're built, you know, we are built in a way that our emotions and our feelings will actually either add to that energy or take away from it. So it's important that we keep a positive perspective so that energy is there. So when then God calls us to say, okay, now I need you to do something. You know, you sought me in this circumstance. You were able to kind of come back to the peace that I provided you. You submitted your life to me. Now it's time to make a move, right? And if you hadn't put yourself in the right position, you're not ready to make that move.
And that's the truth because you know, again, I mentioned before that I was reading one of my favorite Bible stories, and I was actually coming out of excuse me, one second, come on. But I was actually talking about Joseph, and the thing is, when you jump into Genesis, I think it's around 37. It talks about him being sold into slavery. Now imagine this, because again, I'm contrasting this with the news that I got, but it covers a multitude of topics. One of the first thoughts I had was that wow, man, they could have told me this months ago. I mean, nobody had to. You didn't have to be no secret. Could have said it months ago. But here's the real deal. God was already showing me something because, man, I believe we all gonna always have debt, right? That's my belief because of the way I live my life, right? And I think that God was saying, hey, pay off all your debt so you don't owe no man nothing. So when this situation arises, you good. You Gucci, how Chris used to say. And so think about this. I thought about myself. If I were Joseph and my brothers despised me so much that they sold me into slavery, can you imagine what that feels like? Can you imagine being sold into slavery? And this after you had shared with your family a dream that you had, a dream that God had given you, and now you're sold into slavery. Do you give up on that dream? See, I'm talking about relentless pursuit. I'm talking about being relentless and focusing on the things of God. Did Joseph give up at that point? He didn't. He didn't. But did he not suffer? Did he not have to go through things? And that's the thing that gets me a lot of times today is when we sit back and we think that because we feel like we'd have made it to the mountaintop that we shouldn't have to suffer. I want to say this, that God has a purpose for allowing us to suffer. Okay, when you look at the story of Joseph, God had a purpose for Joseph's suffering. Am I right or wrong? Because here's some things that happen. Here's some things that happen when you suffer. For some reason, those of us who suffer through things, we become better leaders. Right? We become better leaders. Mm. Don't believe me? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He suffered through some things.
Mm.
A lot of people don't get it. If you look at Joseph, his testimony is simple. I mean, think about it. He had to suffer physical and mental and emotional trauma. We use that word trauma a lot today. But think about this. He suffered these traumas, but there's one, the biggest reason he suffered these traumas, here it is, people, I want everybody to get this. The biggest reason he suffered these traumas, not because of his brothers, not because he was sold into slavery, not because his brothers hated him, not because Potiphar's wife lied on him. No. The biggest reason he suffered these traumas is because God allowed it.
Now, Cedric, I will tell you, that is a struggle, right? That is such a struggle for people to comprehend. How can a good and righteous and loving God allow, you know, these things to happen? I mean, and the struggle is so real that I see people, mm-hmm. when bad circumstances happen, they act like God isn't there. And you know, when you try to remind them that God is there, there's such a resistance because in their head, they can't see, well, my God says he loves me. My God said he has nothing but the best for me. My God says uh-huh. that, you know, I'll get the desires of my heart. So there's no uh-huh. way that I'll be suffering because that's my perspective of God. And I think when we say that, it's hard for a lot of people to fathom. But once again, I think it's that perspective. Like, and I tell parents all the time, how many times have you let your kids not really dismember themselves, but you let them fall and scrape their knee? Why? Because it helps teach them a lesson. It helps build that character. It helps build that perseverance. So if we are earthly parents and we do that for our kids and we don't do it maliciously, we don't do it to watch them be hurt and pain, we do it because we love them and we want to see them grow, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us and wants the same? So, so the question I have for you is this: what would you say to somebody, you know, when they say, like, my loving God will not allow me to go through this? There's no way a God who loves me will allow me to suffer. How do you answer that question? How do you minister to somebody who in their heart, they love God, they love Jesus. And I think it comes from a good place. Oh, my God is so great. He doesn't do bad things. But how's he allowing these bad things to happen to me? How do you minister to that?
Oh, man. See, as I had to minister to myself, see, I think of it this way. A lot of people, and this is where we're wrong. See, our foundation is in Christ, right? So here it is. Do you mm-hmm. believe, when I ask people this, do you believe that God has a plan for your life? And most people say yes.
Yes.
And then I ask this question. I say, well, do you believe do you have a plan for your life? And most people will say, yeah. Right? Yeah, I got something I want to do. Then I ask, line up with God's plan for your life, right? And that's where the sticking point is. So I say to them this. This is how I do it. I'm being honest. This is how I do. Look, God needs you to go through this so that he can fulfill the plan he has for your life. And because I'm using the story of Joseph today, God had a plan for Joseph's life, and Joseph couldn't get to where God had called him to unless he went through these adversities, because how else could he become one of the most powerful men in the land, or the most behind the king, had he not gone through all the things that he went through? You see, yes, God could have just installed him, but how would that build up his character? How would that build up his skills as a leader? Here it is. Keep in mind, Joseph was probably angry with his brothers at some point. And what Joseph had to learn to do, what he had to learn to do was he had to learn to reject bitterness. He had to learn to forgive his brother. See, God has a plan for us, but we all need to understand it's like climbing a ladder. We go one rung at a time, one step at a time. Because if I put you in this place, Cedric, if I make you a billionaire today, Cedric, your character cannot sustain you there. Why? Because you're going to be overwhelmed by the power of money. You're going to be overwhelmed by the power of fame. You are going to be the worst. And so what I want for you to do, is I need you to go through these things so that you can become that polished and that wonderful leader that I need you to be in order for you to lead my. So how do I talk to a brother about this? I talk to a brother about this by saying stuff like this. Do you believe that God has a plan for you? And they answer yes. Okay, good. How else can you get to what God has for you unless you go through, right, the road that he has laid out for you? See, a lot of us, we want to skip over stuff. We want to skip it. We don't want to just, you know, because we're afraid. We're afraid we're going to break. But God is saying, I got you. Y'all know how we do, babies. I got you. And we just need to let go of all the handicaps. You know, we need to let go of all of our things. And we need to stop pretending. Let us, you know, that's, am I right or wrong? Let us, do you agree we need to stop pretending that we love God? We need to stop pretending that we're following God's will and actually do it.
And I think you said it. You know, I want to go back to one of the things you said. Character and that character development. And how many times have we seen talented, immensely talented people? I mean, they've been talented and they've been gifted and touched by God with all the talent and in the world, but because they didn't have their character in line, you know, it didn't allow them to stay in that position of prominence. And I believe God loves us so much. He won't allow us to be in a position that our skill can get us to a position, but our character is what keeps us there. And the story of Joseph is an incredible story, because what you saw was talent, right? And talent being exposed at a young age, the dreams that Joseph has, his ability to interpret the dreams, the plan that God had for him, it was talent on display, but his character. And he had go through some character development. And if anybody's gone through any type of character development, it is not easy. It is not fun. It doesn't feel good. But in the end, that character is what counts. Yeah. That character is what not only elevates you, but it allows you to stay. And you saw that in everything that he did. His character just kept coming out. And when the character came out, you saw in every position, from the time that he got sold into slavery to the time that he ended up in second command, he always elevated. And then you saw that, even in that elevation, an even bigger attack. But notice that after every one of those attacks, and what we would call a setback, was just another building block in the character, so ultimately when it was finalized and fully reformed, you saw what God did. You know, through Joseph, he saved a whole nation, right? You know, and that's incredible, you know, but just like anything we do, it takes hard work.
Yeah.
And it ain't gonna always feel good.
Because you are saying the right thing, because it's hard work and we have to do some things. But again, one of the things we need to do is we need to be like Joseph. You know, people don't understand what anger and bitterness and envy, when you embrace that stuff, don't understand how it leads you astray. But the key to this is this right here. The absolute key is to reject those feelings so that you can. And people don't get it. Remember I said embrace it and chase it. Embrace the suffering. It will help build your character. A lot of people don't get it. They say, well, I shouldn't have to suffer. Why not? How else can God get your attention and get you to learn this thing? Because I can guarantee you, Cedric, when I went to God School 101, I wasn't trying to hear nothing. You know what I mean? I wasn't. And so through my suffering, I learned, one, to be humble, right? And two, in being humbled, I learned to listen. I got advice directly from God, but God also sent people in my life to help develop me, right? And what that did for me, and I'll tell any man, I believe it'll do it for any of us, is that if we get off of the whole revenge tactics and anger, if we let that stuff go, what happens to us is that God fully forgives us. We learn to fully forgive each other, and then we go on to another step. We start to progress to a whole new level of obedience. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. And I think the challenge we run into and is when you talk about revenge, when you talk about bitterness, when you talk about having that resentment, most of the time it's directed at the individual, right? Oh, that person did me wrong. That person did me dirty. That person lied on me. That person did this and that to me. And this is where the story of Joseph is so great, because he kept his eyes on the one. He didn't allow his eyes to get caught up in the circumstances. He allowed his eyes, he kept his eyes on the architect, right? There is
an architect
out there that knits and manifests every circumstance that we go through. And when we stop looking at the architect, the person who designed it, the person who orchestrated it, the person who allowed it, right? And we start looking at the circumstance itself, that's where the bitterness comes from. That's where the anger comes from. How dare she treat me that way? How dare they do me like that? You know, and all when I hear that, all I hear is like, man, you're focused on the circumstance. And like you said, you know, does God have a plan in your life? Yes. Is God sovereign? Yes. Can God do any and all things? Yes. Can God protect us and stop things from happening to us? Oh, most definitely. So if this thing is happening, then if you're telling me God is all powerful, he has all authority over all things, and he can stop anything from happening, then the logical conclusion is God ain't stopping this, right? And it's easy for us to try to take God out of it and be like, oh, that jerk over there, he's doing all that. But when we really take a step back, well, yeah, any man can do what he wants, but God is all powerful. Just look at the story of Job. Satan could not touch, the enemy could not touch Job until God gave him permission, right? And that's in our lives, too. And the hard part is to try to figure out, why would God allow, you know, the enemy to do that? Why would he even think about it? But we're thinking so just in our temporal moment. We're not thinking about our eternity and the character development. And the life of Joseph and Job is a great example of not focusing on the circumstance, but always being in line with the architect. And allowing that sculptor to sculpt you and mold you and to take some of the things off of you that needed to be taken off and to refine you into this beautiful artwork, this piece of art that can now do so much more. So as we go through these challenges and through these trials, you know, I always go back to that scripture in James, you know, when your faith is tested, consider it joy. You know, and I always tell people, if you give me two people, you give me a student who made straight A's through school, never made a B or C, never had to struggle, but always was successful, but you give me the student who may be a B, C student, but struggled with failing classes, but still got to that point, I'm going to take that C student every day. Because what that C student's told me is, like, I face adversity. I flunked that class. But, yes, and still I persevere. Because what typically happens, those people who are always succeeding, the first time they hit failure, they don't know how to recover, right? Mm. And you just see that in so many of just our life lessons, you know, those athletes that weren't that talented but had to work hard. So when they got there, what were they able to do, right? You know, those business people who didn't have those access to those certain things, and when they got the opportunity, what did they do, right?
Yeah.
So we see it through our community and through our culture. So why do we want to try to avoid it when it comes to our spiritual makeup?
Man, you better tell them because it's insanity to me because I tell people all the time. I mean, one of the things I was speaking about humility, you know, when you put that pride down, when you squash that pride, you know, humility to God, you show a healthy fear of God. You know, your reverence comes from that. And people, we struggle to know every little thing. And if God was so simple that we could just figure him out, which of course he is, but if we could figure out all the things of God, which are extremely complex, which we cannot, where would we be? What kind of God would it be? You know, so when I tell people, you know, God is allowing you to go through this, I'm saying he's testing your faithfulness. He's trying to teach you to serve him. I mean, there's so many examples in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? God is preparing you, right? He is preparing you to be able to comfort other people. Y'all know, you know what we say, Jason. Don't we say this all the time? Look, you're not going through this situation just for you. You're going through it for the other brothers coming up behind you. You're going through it for the woman down the street who doesn't have a father at home or never had a father at home, and she's in an abusive relationship, but you can relate to her. You're doing it for this young man who's coming up who maybe he's got both parents at home, but he's just a kid rebelling against the system that his parents have put in place in his house. You see, you can talk to that young man or that young girl. You can talk to that young person, and you can get them back in line. God uses all of that, and he wants to use all of us, just like he did Joseph, just like he did Peter, just like he used Paul. I mean, and I try to get people to understand that, Jason, but then here they say, they always hit me with this, here it is. Well, I just don't know. I don't know. Jason, if I told you that you were going through a tough situation and God wants to put you in that situation so that you can tell, let's just say you went to jail, and I say, and you went to jail, you were innocent, and I say to you, God put you in jail so that you could tell the warden that what he was doing in private wasn't really private. So you had to go to jail, right, befriend somebody, become a trustee, then become an assistant in the warden's office. Maybe you was mopping the floors. Who knows? But then you had to develop a relationship with the warden so the warden at that chosen period, that chosen moment in time, could hear from you what God gave you to tell him. Check this out, 20 years before you even got to jail. People don't even believe that that's how God works. And I'm here to tell people God works like that. We don't all have to do wrong to be in ugly situations so that we can do God's work. So as I said earlier when we started, when I got that news, I chose not to be angry. I chose to look at it as not even a challenge. I looked at it as an opportunity because I'm going to pass a whole bunch of people up on these streets. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to pass up a whole bunch of people, and I'm going to have a whole bunch of opportunities to talk about the goodness of God. I'm going to have a lot of opportunities to share my own despair, my own frustrations with the world. But that's okay. I can do it from a positive standpoint. I don't have to be negative all the time. I don't have to be a hater. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to beat people over the head. But I believe that if we choose to trust God, just like Joseph, I believe that he will put us in the right situation and the right moments in time so that we can be a blessing to others. That's what I believe. That's what I believe.
And I think the key focus of that is to be a blessing for God to use, right? Look at what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about me, you know, and what's happening to me. I'm worried about, you know, how God is using me, right? And I think when we talk about that, that's the key point. When you talk about humility and humbling yourself, the key point of that is I'm humbling myself to be the person God called me to be a tool that He can use in the life of the people around me, right? So that I can go out and be that person and be that tool and allow God to work through me to manifest His coming kingdom on earth, right? And that's what we want to strive for. That's what we want to move for. That's what we want to truly try to get to is get to that point. And it's not easy. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy, but I love scripture because scripture just tells us, you know, the best way to gain your life is to lose it, you know?
That's right.
Read that scripture all the time and we just kind of like, it makes no sense. Right. But what that scripture really breaks down is like if we want to achieve that all that God has for us, it doesn't come from our power and authority. It comes from the power and authority of God working through us. And when we submit ourselves and the individual to that power and authority, what normally happens is we now get the benefit of that power and authority. So the things that we couldn't accomplish in our own power becomes just easy. You know, when we talk about, you know, working in God's power. So, I love scripture because scripture always, always, always brings us back, brings us to that truth, the real truth, not the truth that our culture tells us that, man, you got to fight for everything you get. You know, you better hold on strong for what you get. Don't be giving your stuff away because we all out here trying to get our own thing, and you don't want to do that, you know. Don't let anybody take advantage of you, you know. Just keep fighting for what you get. And if you read scripture, the scripture is not to fight for the thing; it's a fight from that thing. And the thing we're fighting from is our own nature, our own selfishness, our own sense of being bigger, that our own pride. That's what we're fighting from. And when we win that fight, the things that we can really achieve become so monumental.
Man, because I think about, man, I'm telling you, I think about Job, right? And I'm like, the devil couldn't do nothing to Job till God gave him permission. But even so, Job never said a thing against God. He suffered. He had boils all over his body. He must have smelled awful. Can you imagine those boils popping and the pus running down, and he's in all this pain and this agony, and the only thing he ever did was be an upright man. Now here's the thing. A lot of people just they don't focus on the right things when it comes to Job. He humbled himself before God. So even in his suffering, he served God. How did he serve God? It didn't say he did anything, right? As a matter of fact, he listened to his wife and his friends, but he just didn't act upon what they were telling him. I'm going to tell y'all how he did it. He did it by doing nothing but following God. He did it by having faith in God. He didn't have to run up and down the street. He didn't have to beat people over the head. He was a living example, just like Christ. He was a living example of how we should deal with certain issues that come about in our lives. You know, he didn't know why he had these boils. He don't know why he got sick. He don't know any of that. He just knows he's suffering, and God has not relieved him of his suffering. And I'm saying this to a bunch of brothers. Man, embrace it. Embrace it. I'm telling you, it does you no harm to embrace that struggle. You hear people say, but the struggle is real. What struggle are you talking about? If you're talking about God, what God allows to happen in your life, it's real. But also the reward, the benefits of that struggle are real. You know, we get so caught up on the negative that we forget that God has a purpose for our pain. But there's purpose in my pain. That's why I say pimping a lot. There's purpose in my pain, and I add the ing to the end of it, because guess what? I ain't never out of pain. I'm always in pain, but there's always going to be purpose in whatever pain that I'm in. So that's where I get the term pimping from. I know people of church shouldn't say that word, but I do. Now you know why I do. You may not like it. I don't care. That's what I do. That's what gets me through. I honor God, right? I want to be more like Christ, though. I strive to be more like Christ. I don't always need to have a whole bunch of slogans, but I tell you what, they help. They help me. And we need to understand that whatever it takes for us to be closer to Christ, I think we should do it. You know, I think as long as it's in bounds of what the Bible says, I think we're fine, but I think that we just truly need to understand that we're not in control. God is in control. Now, I want you to help me with this one. What does it look like when God has brought you through something? What does it look like? As a man, we're talking leadership. That's the underlying thing here, and I've only mentioned it a couple of times, but like with Joseph, think about what happened to Joseph when it came to Potiphar's wife. Joseph was working in the big house as the number one servant, second only to the big man in the big house. And then his wife wanted a shot of the action, and Joseph was like, nah, I'm a man of character. I ain't doing this. Of all his privileges, and thrown in jail.
Now, hold on. So no. Let's talk about how he was stripped.
All right. Let's get there.
He was stripped because somebody lied. It wasn't like Joseph messed up and made a mistake. Joseph was doing everything Joseph was supposed to do, and this individual lied, told a falsehood, and was believed. So think about this. I bust my butt to work hard, to honor God, to do everything the right way, you know.
Yeah.
And then in one moment, the words of one unrighteous person, you know, destroys all that. So it'll be easy for Joseph to think, like, why am I going through all this work when all it takes is the word of one person to destroy it? It will be easy for Joseph to be like, that such and such woman, how dare she do that to me? And she took all that stuff away from me. It would have been so easy for Joseph to just go to that point of negativity. But once again, the beautiful thing about Joseph is he didn't look at the circumstance. He always focused on the architect. And through it all, now don't get me wrong, Joseph, when he was sitting in jail, he's like, hey, man, if you can get me out of here, hey, just remember me when you get out of here, you know? So he was still trying to get out.
Yeah, there was.
You know? You know, homeboy got out. He's like, yeah, I got you. So here Joseph thinking, like, okay, I hooked the boy up, got him out of here. Yeah, I'm going to be out of here in a little bit. Dude forgot about him. Once again, Joseph could have been like, that son of a, I do all that stuff to get out of him, and he's just going to forget about me and leave me in this mess. You know, what the?
Yeah.
You know, but what did Joseph do? He just kept persevering. And then the next guy who got out did the exact same. How many of us would even bring ourselves to make that statement again? I know if I'm sitting in jail and I ask somebody to hook me up when they get out and they didn't, I probably ain't going to tell the next person that. But, you know, Joseph operated in faith. And he said, hey, man, when you get out there, just let the king know. Just, you know, speak a good word for me. And when the opportunity came, because Joseph's character in that circumstance resonated so greatly that when that individual had a chance to be to have an audience with the king, he remembered the character of that Hebrew when he was in prison. He remembered, and he's like, hey, king, hey, I just remember this guy, you know, why don't you talk to him? Because he did a great job when I was there, and the king took that man's recommendation and called him forward. And in doing so, we see the start of that journey and the start to be the culmination of what God has been preparing him for this whole time.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, because I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing, because I don't think God allows us to suffer just for suffering's sake. We don't suffer just for the sake of suffering. God has a plan for that suffering. And so just like with the situation that I referenced earlier, man, This is a blessing in disguise. And the reason I say in disguise, it ain't no disguise to me, but for other people, it's a blessing in disguise. They don't see what God is doing. I may not know exactly what God is doing, but I know he's doing something powerful. You know, I always told people, and this is the funny thing, because we got to be careful what we say sometimes. I told one of my friends, I said, yeah, I make pretty good money. I'm doing pretty good. Life is grand. But if God saw fit to take it all away, just whoop, and it's gone, I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do. And guess what? When it happened, I thought back, and I felt those feelings trying to rise up. But I said, I bet they don't, that I don't go back. I won't go back. I can't go back. I will never go back to where I came from, because God brought me here, was loved me enough to bring me to this point. Then guess what he will do? As long as my character is intact, he will sustain me right where I am. I will not miss a beat, and I declare that right now. And see, and a lot of times we are afraid to declare these things over our own lives, because we, I don't know why we don't. I'm just going to leave it at that, but we are afraid to declare the things of God over our own lives. But I trust God. I trust his judgment. I believe in what he says, and I'm going to be all right. And that's it. Ain't nothing else for me to talk about. You know what I'm saying? So when you see me next week, when you see me tomorrow, when you see me tonight, don't worry about no situation. Don't even bring it up. You want to know why? Because God has already dealt with the situation. It's my duty. Here it is, y'all. Y'all got to listen to me now. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. It is my duty to hold on to the faith, right? Humble myself before God and develop into the man that he wants me to be so that I can help further the kingdom. That's it. Then learn something. That's what I'm doing. I'm learning something. I'm going through this, not for me, but for everybody around me. Y'all can experience the type of joy that I experience every day. You know, I love God for that. I love it. I love it. I sometimes say, Lord, I wish you didn't trust me so much. But at the end of the day, I'm glad he does. I'm glad he loves me enough to discipline me and to just love me and hold me up when I'm weak. I just keep my mind on him. My thoughts and my prayers, I keep them all on him. And that's what I keep doing. Why? Because when I read the word and I hear what Joseph said, and I think I want to go say, I'm not sure, but I think this goes back to Romans where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean, here it is, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, but not, here it is. And people don't get this part. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen. That may have come from Proverbs. I forget where it comes from. Y'all forgive me. I get a little excited, and I forget. But, you know, sometimes it's in my head, sometimes it ain't. But I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say this. Because Proverbs, the book of life, y'all need to go and read it. If you don't know it, read it. But I believe that's how God works. And so let's depart from all the evil. Joseph showed us the blueprint. Job showed us the blueprint. Christ showed us the blueprint, gave it to us all. Because you're not going to grow being filled with evil or anger. You can substitute the word evil for anger, for jealousy. You can substitute it for it all, because jealousy, what you listened to a minute ago, Jason, that's what got Joseph caught up. You know what I'm saying? We are to not be like that. Let us learn from others. And let us bond together as brothers and mothers and sisters. You know, we are family in this world, and we need to act more like that. And I think that God really wants to bless this world. I believe with all my heart and soul that God wants to bless this world. Even though it seems like the worst people get the best thing. God wants to bless us all. But we got to hold on to the faith. We got to do what he says. So with that being said, I know we only got a few minutes, Sister Kimmy, if you don't mind, cue us up. Give us 60 seconds. But I just, man, I'm telling you, Jason, I just been chomping at the bit to get here tonight, and I love God. I love what God is doing. I love the fact that I don't know everything. And I'm okay with it. We got any get parting words for everybody tonight, man?
Nah, I mean, you know me, I'm always about perspective. And you know, don't see obstacles, see opportunity. Don't see challenges, see successes. See God in everything that we do and watch how your energy level will increase, you know, because, you know, we talk about energy, and I think energy comes from what we perceive, and we can shape that perspective to allow God to continue to feed that joy and energize us in everything that we do. The success is immeasurable.
Yeah, and that's what I'm loving about God. That's what I'm loving about the Word of God. So, y'all know what I say about this time. I'm a real simple guy, but I cannot get enough of reading and learning to understand the Word of God so that I can apply it to my everyday life. Not just the times when I'm in need, not just the times when I feel good, because Jason, you know how we do. If life is going good, half the time we don't go to church. We ain't paying no tithes. We ain't doing that. We just doing our own thing. But when times get hard, we still ain't going to church. We might show up every once in a while, might pay a little bit of tithes, and might go up to the altar and say, praise, you know what I mean? And then we go back to doing the same thing before we even got to church. My thought is, God loves you right where you are. Cedric does not need to know what you're struggling with. Just let God know. I mean, right now, just let God know. And you can, whatever sin, if you feel guilty about anything, guilt is generally a sign of sin, right? I'm just saying. It's kind of our built-in compass sometimes. Then it's okay. Go ahead and give it to God right now. And you just say, Lord, forgive me. And you can say whatever it is you want him to forgive you for. And you just say this prayer. Father, I thank you. Sometimes that's all you got to say is, Father, I thank you. Thank you for your blessing. You can thank him for whatever it is you want. Thank him for the freedom. But, Father, thank you. And that's it. You can walk away from it. Whatever it is, and that's really for us as men, we just need to ask God for forgiveness every day, and we need to say thank you every day. Just give God his reverence. And the more you pray, the more you talk to God, I promise you, it may take some time, but the better you feel and the better your life will go. I truly believe that. So with that being said, if you will, find something you love, embrace it, and chase it. And that is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric and Jason, and we just want to thank y'all for being here on this Friday night. God bless you. God keep you, and have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
Lord, I just want to say thank you for sending your son down to die for my sin. Even though I messed up, can I get it wrong? You love me unconditionally. So here I am, all I have is you. A sinner saved by grace, but is that really true? Cause I'm still feeling love for what I used to do. And I don't feel it change, but my heart yearns for you. I don't feel complete, even when it's going right. When I'm missing you, Lord, please come into my life. Loving you the real test, not to love you to get blessed. And yes, I know that you the best. So here I am to worship, sacrifice my life so you can work it. How you see fit for your glory is worth it. Everything else can take a backseat. Running to your throne for your mercy like a track meet. Why you have to ask me? I don't understand. Without you, Lord, how can I be a real man? I ain't gon' try. I give you all of me, Lord, and ride till I die. Put my
here
knees
I
to the
am
floor.
To worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am.
To your father, that's my only option. After you ripped the veil and gave me the gospel, so I could see the truth, so I can walk with you. And that's the greatest thing that anyone can ever do. You really saved my life when I was worse at it, an addict on many levels for pleasure, pain, and passion. I could never grasp it, cause it's never lasting. But Lord, you everlasting. I burn my flesh to ashes so I can walk with you. Your love is unconditional, so even though I struggle with my past, you still see me through. Sometimes I get it wrong, I fail plenty times, but I get back up and I ride. Your son lives and died for my eternal life. So now I'm still tight, God inside you give me light. Now I'm saying I will fight all my pain, hurt, and my struggles in my past life. Lord, you wipe away my tears every night.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow.